Morning, everybody.
Good morning, Peter.
I'm reading from Ephesians. I'm reading from 1 through to 23. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfilment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. Pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
A band that I was in with him in the last century. The band was called Bleat. That was my name, or my name for the band. Anyway, as I was we were performing at some event, and as I was watching it, there was a certain cringe to it. We were all wearing pyjamas for some reason. I sound pretty lame, and that's why there's no sound. Nonetheless, it struck me how beautiful I was. We're young, at least. And how much fun it was. And there was a little bit of nostalgia as I was looking at it, a wistful longing for easier, less troubled, lighter, more fun days. And a lot less of, and a loss of those days, you know, and the yearning for better ones like it, which maybe, you know, you long for too. Maybe not like that, but your own nostalgia. Particularly as we contemplate the new year ahead, you know, full of new and yet the all too old busyness, going to high school, or getting kids to high school, or just a school, the load of study, or the pressures of a new job, or the ongoing pressures of the old one, the frustration of aging, and illness, and injured bodies and minds. It's not hard, I think, as we contemplate the busyness of the upcoming year, to feel nostalgic when you stumble over an old photo or note someone a note that someone wrote you a while ago, or a memory of a childhood holiday, and ache for those times again, because they feel like home, like where we really belong, which matches with what nostalgia is. It's a really cool word. Only found this out today, not today, but this week. Comes from the Greek nostos and algia, which means homecoming, or the nostos and algia, which means pain. That's why nostalgia has often been associated with the feeling of homesickness. But here's the thing, home is where the heart is. Pretty cool picture of a heart as a home. and as Jesus famously said, where your heart is, well, that's where your treasure will be also. And as believers, Jesus is our treasure, right? Or he should be. Because everything else in our life and in this world is passing away. There's nothing and no one like Jesus that won't rot or decay or be spoiled or taken away from us or die. And so it's smart to have our hearts set on him, to yearn for him, to be with him now and forever. Because he'll never let us down. He'll never break our heart. Proper nostalgia then, proper homesickness, is not for the past, but for the future. That feeling of longing for better days, of longing to be home, is not just a sentimental and self-indulgent trip down memory lane for us who believe in Jesus. It's a sure hope, grounded in his past sacrifice for us and his eternal future with us. It's a hope to be with Jesus, a hope that is now and not yet in faith, by faith in him. A hope that every believer since Jesus walked this earth has sought to cultivate by getting on board with his mission, the mission of making disciples. As he said just before he went back to his Father after rising from the dead, he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." It's often called the Great Commission, Jesus' Great Commission, a mission that this church has sought to capture in the mission statement, enabling people by God's grace to become complete followers of Jesus. A mission statement that faithfully captures the Great Commission of Jesus, a statement that's been with us for many years, but a statement that we're moving to replace with something that keeps the spirit of it, but it's framed in such a way that it's easier to communicate and to remember for the sake of Jesus' Great Commission. And so, after the elders, the church leaders here, tossing it around for quite some time, this is the mission statement that you'll be seeing around about the place from here on in. Our mission is to grow a church community where knowing Jesus and loving people changes lives for the glory of God. It's really good. Now, while it's true that God's ultimately the one who grows faith in people, it's no less true that we're responsible for our own growth too, as the Apostle Peter tells believers, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Key to growing church community is the gift of the knowledge of Jesus, as is love, according to Ephesians chapter 4, all leading to changing lives for the glory of God, according to Romans 11 and 12. And as many of you know, the church and the leadership here have spent quite a bit of time recasting a vision on how to do this mission, which is the following. And if you can't read it up the back, it's printed in your bulletin so you can follow along there. Our vision: a church making Jesus known through faithful and engaging Bible teaching, humble dependence on prayer, obedient service to Christ, a community where we welcome, strengthen, support, serve, and equip. That's our vision: to grow a church community where knowing Jesus and loving people changes lives for the glory of God. By prayerfully, biblically, and obediently making Jesus known, where we welcome, strengthen, support, serve, and equip. In short, we're all about knowing Jesus, loving people and changing lives. Something Paul, the Apostle Paul, had a vision for too, as his letter to the Ephesians details. So we're going to take a look at that now to see how God's word informs and fuels our vision. Because knowing Jesus, well, that was front and centre for Paul. After starting at the beginning of his letter with a number of lengthy sentences detailing the blessings of being in Christ, he draws breath to pray. And that in and of itself is instructive. Verse 17 we read, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I know that I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." He might have picked up Paul praise that believers would know stuff, know the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ better, and know this God better by the Holy Spirit in them revealing that to them. Anyone then knowing God in Jesus by the Holy Spirit is something only God can give, which is why Paul is asking God here for it. He's depending on God for the knowledge of Jesus to really sink into people's hearts and minds, because without God giving it, it'll never happen. And this is something that we look to follow here at church. It's reflected in our vision statement that we make Jesus known through a humble dependence on prayer. Paul also prays, as we saw earlier, that his readers would know the hope and power and authority of Jesus, to know what God intends for them as his people in Christ. That is their hope, nothing less than the glorious inheritance of eternal life in his kingdom. And to know the power, God's power made available to them in Christ, nothing short of the same power that God raised Jesus from the dead with. And to know the scope of God, of Jesus' authority. That is nothing less than everything. And believers know all this, this hope and this power and Jesus' authority, yes, as the Holy Spirit enlightens their heart to hear it, but also as they listen to the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and teachers that Jesus has given to the church, as Paul says later in chapter 4, where we read, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Knowing Jesus, the Son of God, is given to us by Jesus himself, and he's given it through the apostles in the New Testament and through the prophets in the Old Testament and then through the evangelists and pastors and teachers who then teach what the prophets and the apostles have said. This is why our vision is making Jesus known through faithfully teaching the Bible. That is, faithfully teaching the writings of the apostles and the prophets. That's why every Sunday and in every ministry of our church we look to faithfully teach the Bible. We'll teach the Bible. And to do so in a way that equips God's people for works of service, equips them to welcome and strengthen and support, and to get everybody on the same page, on the right page when it comes to Jesus, particularly for those who are being welcomed into our church community, as our vision states. We're on about knowing Jesus through teaching the Bible, praying and obeying him as we welcome, strengthen, support, serve and equip. We're also on about loving people, as was Paul. He saw knowing the truth of Jesus working itself out in love. So he writes in Ephesians 4, as the New English Translation puts it, "By practicing the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ, who is the head. For from him the whole body grows, fitted and held together through every supporting ligament. As each one does its part, the body grows in love." Paul, he's keen for those who know the truth of Jesus to practice the truth in love in both what they say and do, so that in all things we grow up into Christ together, as each of us do our part in love. Loving people is key. It's key to Paul's vision for the church in Ephesus to be united under Christ in love, and it's key for our vision as a community where we welcome, strengthen, support, serve and equip people. Welcome in that we thoughtfully, sensitively and inclusively invite people into the community of faith and give them a sense of belonging. We are keen to love those in our community who are not yet part of our church family, to invite them to be a part of us, and being sensitive to where they're at and making it as easy as possible for them to get to know us and feel like they belong with us, which is why we're going to continue to promote the various ministries that we've got going on, like Connect every quarter for young families, and Conversations on the Coast every quarter for adults to come and chat about spiritual things, and English as a second language classes every Friday during the term time for the many migrants in our area, and our new fortnightly community playgroup for young mums and their kids, and Friday night youth for high schoolers, for the many high schools around, and the weekly high school lunchtime groups, and our weekly kids church program on Sundays, and the regular belonging classes for those considering membership here, and hosting regular newcomer lunches and hospitality, not only every Sunday at morning tea and supper here, but during the week with cleaning the building inside and upkeeping the grounds outside. We do all these things to welcome people. And we look to strengthen and support people too. Strengthen them in their knowledge and understanding of Jesus by regularly studying the Bible, unpacking it together in big church each Sunday and in little church throughout the week in our growth groups. And we support by sharing our lives and following Jesus together. And we see this strengthening and supporting fitting really well together in our growth groups, as small groups regularly meet often in each other's homes to be strengthened in their understanding of the Bible and the Lord Jesus in the pages of the Bible, and then to support each other. So we'll be banging on about growth groups again this year to strengthen and support people well. And we serve together, serving together in our ministry activities in church life, whether that be in the ministries that I've already mentioned or in our other ministries, like serving on the mission committee, rebranded recently to the Gospel Beyond Gosford team. Heaps better. To advocate for and promote cross-cultural ministry outside of our local church. Or serving in schools with scripture. Or serving in the services run at a number of retirement villages and homes. Or serving the music team. Or serve leading the Sunday services. Or serve leading in prayer in church. Or reading the Bible in church. Or serve on the mission committee. The committee of management. We want to see all of us serving together. And so we'll keep on encouraging people to serve in these many ways and ministries in the life of our church. We're committed to serving together well. And we equip people, to equip them to make Jesus known, train others, and to be effective leaders, and train them to welcome well, to strengthen well, to support and to serve. Train people up to preach, to serve leading growth groups, to serve leading in public prayer, to serve in the many ministries we've got going on in the life of our church, and to treat those who are serving as gifts from Jesus to us, who in turn will prepare the rest of God's people for acts of service. As such, we equip people. So there you have it. It's a five-fingered list, a fistful for the future to pack a punch into the face of 2019. Or if that's a little bit violent, a ministry high five to welcome the year in. Either way, that's our vision. Our vision here at Gosford PC. We're on about knowing Jesus and loving people through teaching the Bible, praying and obeying Jesus as we welcome, strengthen, support, serve and equip. We're also on about changing lives, where knowing Jesus and loving people changes lives for the glory of God. Along with Paul, as he says in chapter 2 of Ephesians, we want more and more people to change from being dead in sin, slaves to Satan, and to evil desires and destined for hell, to change and to be alive to God, free from slavery to sin and Satan and death, free to love people and destined for the new heavens and the new earth instead, to change to be these wonderful things, all by knowing Jesus. And we make, as we make him known and love people so that they can hear, see and hear the goodness of knowing Jesus and learn to love him as we do. We're on about changing lives. From people going from darkness to light, from death to eternal life. And for those of us who already know Jesus, that'll also mean changing, a change for us too. A change from being unwise to being wise, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The phrase there, making the most of every opportunity, in the Greek, it's literally something like buy the time, or redeem the time from something. Now, what's the something that we're buying, redeeming the time from, according to Paul? What does he see that has got these days in its grip? Well, it's evil. The days are evil, Paul says. Believers then are wise as they redeem time from evil. How? Well, by understanding what the Lord's will is, understanding what he wants day to day, moment by moment, in the practical decisions of everyday life. In short, what he wants of and in our time. Now, I reckon there's nothing quite as coveted as time. Who hasn't at some stage whinged about running out of time? Or never said, if only I had more time. Who's never said that? Yeah, I didn't think so. Because we're all so busy. We all get sucked into cramming more and more in because we think we're going to miss out, or our kids are going to miss out. But here's the thing. Time is a gift. Those things that mark out time, the sun, the moon, the stars, the Bible talks of them as signs of God's goodness, of his generosity. Time's a gift. To fret over not having enough of it then is like my kids on their birthday looking at all the presents they've been given and saying, is that it? Time's a gift from God. The answer to our worries then is not more time, it's what we do with the time we've been given. And from Paul's point of view, the wise use of time is what we buy back, what we redeem from these evil days. That means to make no effort to redeem time for God and the things of his kingdom is just to go with the evil flow. So how do we understand what the Lord's will is day to day, moment by moment? How do we redeem the time for his sake? Well, for sure, it'll have something to do with knowing Jesus and loving people. Changing lives then is for those who redeem the time to know Jesus and love people. That's wise. And so it's wise as a member of this church family as to change your life by taking the time to get on board with Jesus' mission. To invest your time with us, making Jesus known as we welcome, strengthen, support, serve, and equip. And this is a smart, it's a really smart investment of your time, because knowing Jesus and loving people gets you eternal returns. The more time we redeem from the stuff of this world to make disciples of Jesus, the wiser we are. And so if we're tempted to think that the time that we spend for Jesus at church or on church stuff, it's too demanding or taxing, it's worth keeping in mind that any time spent pursuing Jesus' mission with your church family in the ways that we're looking to do this year in our mission and vision, it's not in vain. When Jesus returns, you're not going to look back and regret the time you spent busying yourself with making Jesus known and loving people for his sake. If Jesus returns and finds you welcoming people into our church family, working hard to make them feel like they belong, the last thing in your mind is going to be, if only I'd spent more time scanning the net for clothes. If Jesus returns to find you serving by working hard, prepping for or co-leading a growth group as an assistant leader, the last thing on your mind is going to be, if only I'd said no to that offer to help out. If Jesus returns to find you supporting others at a growth group, the last thing on your mind is going to be, well, that really wasn't worth my nights out. If Jesus returns to find you reading the Bible by yourself or with your kids and praying for your friends and family that they know Jesus better, the last thing on your mind is going to be, if only I'd spent more time, that time on Facebook or in the garden. If Jesus returns to find you working hard to equip someone to lead in a ministry here at church, or working hard at learning how to serve better in a ministry, the last thing on your mind is going to be, if only I'd worked those extra hours for that extra dosh. If Jesus returns to find you talking about him, the last thing on your mind is going to be, if only I'd spent more time talking about something else. If Jesus returns to find you in church singing praises to him, or leading others singing praises to him, or sitting opposite a friend that you brought to conversations on the coast, or helping out at Connect, or in kids church, or in preschool, or getting along to the community playgroup, or working with the folk at ESL, or taking a scripture class, or advocating for our Link missionaries in the Beyond Gosford team, or planning for any of these by being at the BTS training next Sunday, the last thing on your mind is going to be, why did I waste my time on that? The only thing you're going to regret on that day is that you didn't redeem more time from these evil days, that you didn't seek to understand more what the Lord's will is day to day, moment by moment, that you didn't make more time for making Jesus known and loving people with us. Knowing Jesus, loving people, changing lives. That's our mission as a church community, a mission we look to fulfill by faithfully sticking to the Bible, humbly depending on prayer and obeying Jesus as we welcome, strengthen, support, serve and equip. There's a story of a man who's working in a field and he stumbles across some buried treasure. So he covers it up, quickly goes and sells everything that he's got to go and buy that field so that treasure can be his. Jesus told that story many years ago about the kingdom of God. The treasure is the kingdom of God. And this side of his cross, Jesus' cross and resurrection and his saving power, we know that treasure is Jesus himself, a treasure worth yearning for with all that we've got, a treasure worth sharing with as many as we can, because unlike everyone and everything else, that treasure can never be destroyed, can never die or decay. Jesus will never let us down. He's the safest place for our hearts, and he knows not only where our hearts belong, best belong, but where our hands and our feet and our time belongs. And that's in knowing him, loving people, and changing lives for God's glory. See, knowing Jesus, loving people, and changing lives is true nostalgia. It's true homesickness, because it's about yearning to be at home where we truly belong with Jesus now, this year, and into eternity. So let's all get properly nostalgic together this year, knowing Jesus, loving people, and changing lives. I'm going to pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonder and goodness of knowing Jesus. Thank you that because of the Holy Spirit and your word in the Bible, penned by your prophets and the apostles, that we can know Jesus. We thank you that your Spirit and your word revealed in Christ not only gives us hope, but helps us to see what your mission is in this world, to make disciples. We ask that you would grant us to take hold of the vision to see this mission accomplished, of knowing Jesus and loving people so that their lives might be changed for the glory, your glory. Father, this year, as we contemplate our immediate future and eternal future with Jesus. Help us to yearn for him in all that we do, in the plans that we make, in the time that we buy back, that we redeem from these evil days to serve and equip and welcome and strengthen and support. Father, please help us to hop on board with your mission and vision of making disciples together here as your people at Gosford PC this year and beyond. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.